What if the chaos in your life isn't random at all? What if every frustration, every recurring pattern, every inexplicable attraction or repulsion is actually your own creation? This isn't mystical thinking. It's the mechanics of karma, stripped of its New Age veneer. Karma simply means action, and it operates like software you've been writing since birth, often without realizing you're the programmer. Most of us believe we're driving our lives, but we're more like passengers who've forgotten we ever had the wheel. The cosmic joke? We're simultaneously the architect and the prisoner of our own design. This understanding has resonated globally, transforming how millions approach their circumstances, not by changing the world, but by changing their participation in it. Your life attracts what matches your inner smell, what yogic traditions call vasana. Like a flower scent draws specific insects, your accumulated patterns draw corresponding situations and people. Every sensory experience leaves an imprint through three levels: body, mind, and energy. These gradually harden into personality, your automatic responses formed unconsciously, writing your life's code without awareness. This accumulated memory determines what opportunities you notice, what relationships you form, what doors open or close. The mechanism is impersonal, neither rewarding virtue nor punishing vice. It simply responds to the energetic signature you emit. When you understand this, blame evaporates. No parents, politicians, or gods control your destiny. You've been authoring your own blueprint all along, whether you knew it or not. Karma's counterintuitive truth: impact depends on intention, not the deed itself. Consider five scenarios with identical elements: you, another person, a knife, death. The karmic consequences vary wildly based on intent. Most surprising, plotting harm without acting creates the heaviest karma because you replay the scenario mentally countless times, creating a self-imposed prison. Your volition stems from one source: identification with separateness, the belief you're an isolated individual. This identification makes you engage selectively, constantly oscillating between likes and dislikes, hardening your sense of division. When actions respond to situational demands rather than personal agenda, karmic production ceases. Buddha's desirelessness wasn't about eliminating desire, but operating from inner fullness rather than craving, making life an expression of joy, not a pursuit of it. Ironically, philosophies of avoidance aimed at escaping karma actually multiply it. Living fully dissolves karma. Experience every moment intensely, hunger or satisfaction, pain or pleasure, and enormous volumes of karma evaporate. The primary cause of human suffering isn't circumstance, but comparison and reaction. Everything you consider yourself is fundamentally memory. Karma operates through eight distinct dimensions, like invisible membranes wrapping around your being. The first four represent collective karma beyond personal choice: elemental memory from earth, water, fire, air, and ether; atomic memory from patterns forming your body; evolutionary memory making you human rather than reptilian; and genetic memory carrying family traits. Your ancestors literally live through you. Experiments show fear responses transmitting across multiple generations of mice. The remaining four involve individual karma, where volition matters: personal karmic memory shaping your unique personality, sensory memory from environmental responses, inarticulate memory containing unconscious information accumulated over eons, and articulate memory holding conscious information. Behind every person lies a vast karmic warehouse. From this enormous volume, a portion ripens as your allotted karma for this lifetime, manifesting as compulsions toward physical activity, intellectual pursuits, emotional expression, energetic practices, or inner stillness. Modern life creates dangerous imbalances. Most people's physical and emotional energies remain unexpressed, with civilized society viewing uninhibited expression as unsophisticated. This suppression contributes to epidemics of depression and chronic restlessness. The yogic creation story reveals how humanity's bondage began. Creation started with infinite emptiness, pure intelligence without memory or form, called Shiva, that which is not. This is existence's foundation. For form to exist, memory became necessary. You weren't created from nothing, but from your parents' template. The fundamental difference, pure intelligence creates memory from itself, while everything else projects memory as intelligence. Like Adam and Eve's fall, humans moved from pristine intelligence to memory-based intellect, from consciousness to self-consciousness. They began choosing product over process, destination over journey, karma over yoga, standing apart from life's flow, creating divisions of time and beginning bondage. Today, those with great memories are considered intelligent, excelling academically, and becoming respected scholars. Yet true enlightenment comes only by touching citta, intellectual unsullied by memory. Without this, you may be learned, but know nothing about existence's source. Karma isn't a burden, but a tremendous possibility, the foundation making transcendence possible. Your karmic software becomes problematic only when it rules your life, when memory clouds your perception like grime on a mirror. Karma yoga transforms your karma from chain to key. The same activity can either bind or free you, depending on your approach. It's not about constant busyness, but engaging in activities that lead to liberation. What matters isn't what you do, but how you do it, the volition behind your actions. Karma can be shed two ways, acting with awareness or with total abandon, ideally both. Awareness emerges from consciousness without content, an inclusiveness embracing all existence. Abandon means involvement so intense, you're willing to surrender everything you consider yourself. In activities like running or dancing, you disconnect from past karma. Many artists experience this immersion, but can't sustain it. Yoga is the science of maintaining this freedom. True karma yoga means full involvement in process without attachment to outcomes. The paradigm shift, seeing life as an expression of happiness rather than its pursuit. Physical yoga prepares the body to handle more karmic load, increasing capacity to transform accumulated karma into allotted karma. When you pursue spiritual practice consciously, you accelerate your karmic process. Troubles that once appeared every 6 months might surface every 6 hours, intense but fleeting. Traditional Indian courtesans wore intricate jewelry that admirers couldn't unravel until a single hidden pin released everything. Karma works similarly, a vast web of consequences that most seekers try untangling piece by piece through meditation or selfless action. But there's a more direct approach, locating the master pin holding the entire structure together. This pivotal pin is one fundamental question: what about me? It manifests in countless forms, concerns about reputation, achievements, comfort, survival, legacy. The ego's constant self-referential loop creates new karmic bonds with every thought and action. By completely eliminating this sense of self-importance through deep understanding, the entire karmic structure can collapse instantaneously. We accumulate karma from existential fear of insignificance, desperately trying to leave our mark through achievements, relationships, creations, attempting to ensure some immortality. Yet this very desire to leave footprints keeps us earthbound. Those who wish to soar must be willing to leave no trace. Liberation requires abandoning the limited identity we've constructed, that collection of thoughts, memories, preferences, and biases we call me. When you release this artificial construct, you don't become empty. You open yourself to experience the vast, vibrant energy of the present moment in its pure form. This is liberation's true nature. Not escape from life, but complete immersion in its fullness, where every breath becomes an expression of freedom.